One of the powerful things that I found in being in healthcare and finding that mission-driven approach is always putting the patient first. And so when you look at goals and KPIs, it's not necessarily what the dollars are being driven. It's what's your reach, what is your reputation, and how is that positively impacting the patient?
Welcome to Pioneering Perspectives, a DIA Creative podcast, where we explore marketing insights from regulated industries. Join me as we chat with real professionals navigating these complexities today, uncovering their stories and their savvy strategies for marketing success.
All right, welcome back. I'm your host, Andrea Borcia, CMO at DIA Creative, a digital marketing agency that specializes in health, wellness, and other marketing services. This week, I have for you Eugenio Reynoso, who is Director of Marketing at HealthLevel with 20 years experience. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk me through a bit how you got into healthcare marketing. Where did you start? Was that initially your goal to start in healthcare marketing, or did it just kind of evolve that way?
It evolved that way. It's my career actually started as in tech, as a web developer. And so I worked during the dot-com boom, worked for some of the bigger brands, eBay, at that time, Sun Microsystems. And then I actually fell into marketing, which is a different story, at Visa. But as I progressed through that and payments and then back into tech at Asus, I felt I was looking for something a little bit more, something with more purpose. And then that landed me a job at El Camino Health, originally El Camino Hospital. And there it's very mission-driven being in healthcare. So I decided to give it a shot. And it was probably, actually it is, the place I've ever been to the longest, been in the longest in my career. It was over 8 years.
Amazing. I can see that. I feel like a lot of people get into health because they want to have something that feels a bit more meaningful, like it makes more of an impact in their lives. I love that. So as you've been moving into marketing from a developer standpoint, and now moving into marketing, are you finding that there's any sort of special nuances with healthcare marketing in particular that you need to be careful of, or that, you know, you'd really want to focus your attention on?
In those years of me being in supporting marketing and being in marketing, is seeing the transformation from traditional marketing. When I talk about traditional, it's television and print and radio, which is still very meaningful in their own right, to digital, is you have a lot more things to kind of keep in mind. And that has to do with security, privacy, and in healthcare, moving into healthcare, that definitely plays a huge role, right? When you look at things like remarketing, right? It's one thing to go looking for shoes or laptops and then go to a different site with display remarketing, have that appear again, versus having your own concerns around your own health. Do I have a certain disease state or condition? And then have that pop up again on your device later on. And the risk there is, of course, it's a leakage of privacy, but what if it's a shared device, right? And that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen in terms of, you know, what I've had to apply in my knowledge, is applying this other, almost like a sixth or seventh sense, is when you market, it's more than just a commodity or a product. You're talking about somebody, their health and their livelihood, and what that means in terms of their privacy.
That's so critical. I remember back, I feel like it was Target that made that mistake a couple of years back, where they sent out a postcard. They had enough data, search data on people to analyze if they were pregnant, and they sent out a postcard to a teenager. And yes, that's how her parents found out that she was pregnant. And that always sticks in my mind as like a perfect example of why healthcare marketing is not the same as regular marketing.
Correct. And that's definitely, that Target story is a phenomenal one that ties into data and AI and, well, more machine learning and data. But yes, definitely that is a huge component of it. And that's something that a lot of people who aren't in healthcare marketing may not be aware of when they transcend into this space.
So how, I mean, obviously, like anybody in any job, you have KPIs you need to hit, you have goals, you know, whatever that is. How do you balance that with also making sure to balance the respect of the patients that you're going to be trying to talk to?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with driving awareness and building relationships with other stakeholders inside the organization. One of the powerful things that I found in being in healthcare and finding that mission-driven approach is always putting the patient first. And so when you look at goals and KPIs, it's not necessarily what the dollars are being driven. It's what's your reach, what is your reputation, and how is that positively impacting the patient? So by putting the patient first and having alignment internally, you have a sense of what you need to accomplish and having the support for it, right?
I love that. I'd love to kind of hear a little bit more about how you build that out, you know, when you're doing your different marketing initiatives, or I guess, how do you plan your marketing in that sense? Like when it comes to a campaign or a goal, keeping all of that intact. Like I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I think, so in the space I'm in now, it's still in healthcare, health evolving support radiology businesses, radiology analytics, and finding efficiencies, which is different from the hospital healthcare space, or even which was at El Camino Health, and which was also different from IQ in the vision testing space. And how does that look like in terms of building things out? Well, when you look at hospital healthcare, it really is more about reputation and reach and recall and preference, right? When you put things into market, especially in that space, it's not a direct-to-consumer commodity item. I can't drive demand and expect somebody to be sold on disease state treatments or open heart surgery. Oh yeah, you got me sold, you know, schedule me tomorrow. It's not it. It's not what it's about. It's about building your brand and your awareness. And so when the time comes, and hopefully it doesn't, but when that time comes that you need that type of service, we're top of mind and you choose us. And so a lot of that work is done through, of course, market research and recall and awareness versus say, it is a bit more direct to consumer, say in the vision testing space, where with IQ is that you put out devices that are phenomenally innovative, that are empowering people to go out and test their own vision. And you do have that direct to consumer, and you put out campaigns, and we don't have the patient data per se in order that on the disease states or their conditions, we kind of know how well they are seeing things. And you, of course, you maintain the privacy there, but what you do is you have an understanding of how well people are using the products, and you go to market, and that's almost more of the bread and butter digital and some traditional campaigns where you can go out and you can set KPIs around sales, around your engagement online through your display ads or your search ads or your newsletter subscription, subscribers, how many of those are engaging, and ultimately how well did that equate to a sales bump in a certain period of time.
Right.
Then you go more into the B2B space right now with Health Level. In that respect, it's almost tying back to the patient side of it. Whereas on the B2B space, I can't go out and between me and the sales and product team be able to go out and sell, hey, we have a phenomenal product, which we do. Come buy it and they're like, oh, I'm gonna sign up today. No, a bunch of pieces need to line up. It's gonna be, is this lining up with my budget cycle? Is there a consensus internally that's been built around the need for this certain product that you have? And if so, am I ready to put pen to paper, right? So in that case, it's also going back to brand. It's almost not necessarily demand generation, but provoking demand. So that number one, you're aware of this availability of products. But two, when the time comes, we're also top of mind.
Absolutely. Do you find you have to lean more on the data in marketing when you're doing the B2B side versus the B2C side?
No, I think I've always leveraged data however I could. I think it's there's always an element of understanding engagement and awareness. I think the data is more so helpful on the patient hospital side to just understand awareness.
Yeah.
Right. Awareness and engagement. Right. It's I've run the gamut through social media content and community management and the campaign and helping support some of these campaigns, major campaigns that go out to see how well people are responding to campaigns. Right. Or how we're having conversations in market. And you have to look at the data to support that, because a lot of what you see in marketing is, you know, you're your marketing expert is, depending on what team of people or your audience, internal audience is, some decisions may hinge on subjective viewpoints that influence decisions. And even though unless you have the data to back it up, why they may not be the right direction to go in, you may be in a position of not being able to have an influence. So you always have to have data in hand, looking at all your different platforms and channels are working, and you apply that. And for B2B, it's again, there's that synergy there between the patient and the B2B spaces, looking at, especially for a company like this, it's been around for a while, but the marketing program really just started picking up when I joined here in the last 6 months. That's been my charters, is getting the marketing program going, is how are people engaging with us? How are people finding us, right? And for a company that it's been 12 years young, it is very much a startup. And in the B2B space is, again, assessing how that data can support these different levers that you're pulling, right? Is email working? Is display working? And is social working? Search working? And if they're working, what's the quality of that, right?
I feel like that becomes even trickier when you're talking about brand. And like you were saying, like for your B2B, you do need to establish the brand, which is harder to measure. How much of a marketing department was there before you started? Or did you actually have to build everything from scratch?
There have been bits and pieces of marketing over time. There's a consultant here who was fantastic. And they brought him on board until they found somebody ended up being me. So there is a history of bits and pieces. And so what the way I framed it up and the way I've communicated internally and the people that I know, and now I'm talking to you, is it's almost like you had this orchestra, right? And you had different musicians playing, but they weren't playing in concert, right? My job is, and when I talk about that, I'm talking about like whether it's external partners or tactics that are maybe carried on by some of the sales team or just some of the work that our CEO does when he goes out and speaks is what's the rhyme and the reason? So I'm building it up from scratch, but I have some pieces that are there, right? It's some history with, oh, they've done some webinars. Oh, there are some releases that went to market. There's a website, but how are they working together? And that is my job, is to get them to work together so that they can create this beautiful piece of music.
I love that visual. Because I feel like that's a lot of what marketing is being that conductor to put everything together, all the different channels. Marketing used to be very straightforward. You're right. Like you traditional, it was like one channel. We go to this event and we put out this magazine and that's it. Now it's gotten complicated, even on the B2B side. Yeah. Because you've had experience in both B2C and B2B, you know, what insights do you have on like who would be a better fit for either type of marketing and which one did you prefer actually?
Yeah. Well, I've always preferred variety. So I don't have a preference. It really comes down to company culture and what I'm tasked to do. But if I were to your question, advise or provide a recommendation is I think D2C or just direct to consumer in general, I think has a lot more opportunity for instant gratification, mm-hmm. right? It's and I'm talking about not even specifically like the patient hospital space. It's about just general D2C. You can go out and get tasked with, hey, you need to increase sales in the next quarter, and you can go back to the drawing table and pull your resources together and define your campaign, you know, digital video, I'm going to have a paid social campaign, email, it's all going to align. It's all going to be, you know, I'm going to conduct this, have it all go together. And then you put it out and then you have almost immediate payoff. You can put out, say, a Black Friday email paid display ad campaign and be like, wow, next week I had an increase of like 20% or 50%, whatever number you want that works best for your company, that's good, right? Versus B2B is a slow burn. It's let's get into market. Let's have the right materials. Let's make sure that we have our best foot forward in terms of how we're presented, right? especially here with health level, I'm going to bring up health level a lot because this is where I'm most recent, is that's one of the most fun things I was able to do in my first 6 months, almost unheard of, did a rebrand, right? And there's still more work to be done. It's wow. Or brand evolution of the brand mark, right? That for me is important for in the B2B side, is when you look at, and somebody's having to choose, is you want instant gratification, more likely on the D2C. If you want a slow burn, more focus on brand, it's going to be more on the B2B. Now it's slightly different. You know, I've worked in, you know, Visa, I think that was for about 5 years. That was direct to consumer, but it's at that time, and I'm sure it still is, was very brand specific, like very brand.
Well, it's a very strong brand. So yeah.
A strong brand, but that's what differentiates itself from if you were to reach into and pull out a credit card or go online and type in a credit card number, is which one do you choose? Do you choose Visa or MasterCard when the features are almost identical?
Yeah.
Right. So, but even in those cases, you can have some instant gratification with things going to market. Right. So what was your reach and awareness?
Yeah, that's a good point. B2C gives you that adrenaline boost, right? Like when you, on certain holidays, but I think B2B gives you a chance to build something that has that brand sustenance that I think has a lot of value too. I think that's a really eloquent way of separating the two, because especially in healthcare, you can be B2C, B2B, and you can be B2B2C. And all of that just envelops it all really, really well together.
Yeah. And I think a large part of that just, you know, is just has to do with who your audience is, right? Yeah. Who your prospects, who are your customers, and what do they need, and what are their cycles, right? So yeah, individuals versus organizations.
So obviously you've been in marketing for quite a while, and both in B2B and B2C. We've talked a little bit about the nuances of healthcare, in particular in privacy, but do you see anything happening as we move to the future of healthcare marketing, especially with like new tools, new studies, new concepts? Where do you think we should really focus on?
I think a lot of it is going to switch back to the brand building aspect of it. Mm-hmm. One of the advantages for digital, as you know, for a long time was being able to have attribution, right? And part of digital transformation, a lot of what I've done in the past is changing that mindset. Like we talked about a little bit earlier with traditional versus digital, is it used to be, hey, go put up a billboard. You have to put up a billboard. You got to be on the side of a bus. Well, I mean,
right, it looks right, great. Exactly.
It's a conversation point, but how well can you really measure how many people actually saw that billboard, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in more modern times, you can put up a QR code. Now that people are using QR codes post-pandemic, right?
Yep.
I thought that thing was dead, but it came back and it's actually very useful now.
Another thing that came out of COVID, the thing that we all didn't need, now everybody's using for menus. But it's now actually, I think we've trained people enough to start using QR codes more regularly to like actually find out about different items.
Yeah, they're finding them, and it's part of it is the pandemic, and the pandemic drove awareness and forced usage in some cases, and drove the technology to be easier for people to use. Right, and it used to be you needed a dedicated QR app. QR code app, and then now it's just built into a lot of the cameras, right? And the camera apps themselves. So going back onto the future of marketing is, and what's going on with digital is, we made the transition to digital. Digital, you do a lot of attribution, UTM sources, a lot of third-party unique solutions for tracking that. But you've seen privacy kick back in, right? You have GDPR overseas in the EU, and specifically here in California, CCPA, and you have those two monolithic areas driving forward with these policies, you know it's only going to trickle out over time. And then you've seen that impact across all the digital platforms that are being used for, you know, for tracking or measuring success, attribution. And so Facebook and iPhone, right? I think it was iOS 14. There's that huge issue. Facebook had to start looking for different ways to allow you to track success. And eventually, I think you're going to get to a point where it's going to be extremely difficult to measure success in the instantaneous campaigns. And you go back to brand building and you start looking at more of what preference looks like over time, right? And I think it's not going to happen overnight, but But as people become more aware and more sensitive about what they're being, what they're sharing, and as software and solutions start building that in, it's going to be harder for us as marketers to be able to say, almost in the D2C world, we put out a campaign and here's what we got the next day, right? You're going to see, hey, I saw this lift on my landing page, but I have no idea where everybody's coming from. I think it came from this, right?
Yeah. Do you feel like patients, consumers are the ones really driving privacy, or do you feel like it's really coming from these more regulatory bodies that are actually putting those out?
I think it's cyclical. I think there are certain groups, which is fine because I'm all about privacy myself, who are vocalizing what they're looking for and they're writing in. And then you have the legislative aspect that then understands what the impact is, and then they make change, and it just cycles.
Yeah.
Cycles through again, right? But people who are smart enough, everybody's smart, but who are, I guess, maybe more tech savvy, can take their own steps as far as they can to protect their own privacy. But there's certain things that are right outside of their control, right? Like the whole Target situation, right?
I'm sure that person
never meant to have anybody figure out. Actually, they don't even think they knew themselves.
Yeah.
Right. But they never opted into saying, hey, tell me if I'm pregnant.
Right.
But they kind of found out after the fact. But those types of things, people start becoming smarter as to the possibilities of what's going on with digital, just data and connection of data and identifying individuals, that it makes them uncomfortable. And that's fair. Right. And so people should only opt into it, which is exactly what you're getting out of GDPR and CCPA. People are being empowered to choose whether they want to opt into it or not.
Yeah, the reason I ask is I keep kind of going back and forth, because I feel like the newest generations have grown up so much with being digitally connected to everything that I feel like they're almost like privacy doesn't exist, which, you know, when you're younger, you kind of maybe don't care so much about privacy because what health concerns do you have? But as you get older, you're like, maybe I don't want everyone to know.
I'm a parent.
Uh-huh. I
have two kids, 12 and 8. I did know before, I did realize kind of as my kids were smaller and I wasn't really as looking around, I was observing other people who were younger. I was reading and I was understanding the same way you were, that, yeah, privacy doesn't exist. I don't really care. Yeah, I'm going to opt into everything. I don't care in terms of service. Yes, track me. What I found with the generation after that, my point of view anecdotally, is there is starting to be more of an awareness of privacy and online practices. You have this younger generation that didn't care. Again, my anecdotal observations is they applied to everything because they were almost the pioneers into that space. They are doing things online, hopefully with parental guidance, but we know in a lot of cases, maybe they're not, right? And they're just going for things, and they're not hearing anything from their parents. They're not hearing anything from their schools because they may not know as much. But now you have this group of people who have aged into a world where their parents and their institutions are teaching them best practices online. Even with me and my son and my daughter, they know very well as to they shouldn't be putting an email address into anything that they see. And they understand exactly why. They understand they're going to be tracked. Like, well, you know, can I have your phone number, Dad? I'm going to get this free game. They just want a phone number. Right. And I'm in marketers. I know what's going on. And you're 12 and you're 8. No, that's not going to happen. But those were some of the first scenarios. And they know after that, they know what's going to happen. And they even go back and explain it to me, like, yeah, I know I'm going to get tracked here. Or I saw this ad. It's probably because I went to this other website. They totally understand now. And so they're making those informed decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm impressed with these next generations and how this is going. I think the other area that I'm seeing a lot of this is like more clinical trials going digital only. And in that space, I've had some interesting conversations about marketing those in particular and seeing where that goes. So I'm curious to think, like, when you're in the B2B space, is there also that same privacy concern, or is it purely a B2C concern in the healthcare space?
I think there is a partnership responsibility. It's when you're in the B2B space, and especially in the space that we're in. So again, a little bit about health level. We have a product called Foundations. It's a radiology business operations platform. What that means is we pull together all the analytics from the entirety of the radiology business. That means we're being entrusted with a lot of data, right? And so our job is, as an organization, and mine specifically in marketing, is to communicate outside of the legal requirements, you know, the documents that need to sign in terms of confidentiality, is that we respect data and we have security practices in place to protect that data. And we're mindful of that data. I think a lot of oversights people may have with data in some groups who maybe aren't as digitally savvy is they're assuming that the data is protected and secure. And so data is everywhere. It's like rain. It could just be everywhere, right? Right. So the question is, really, when it comes to that data, is your partner that you're entrusting with this data actively telling you that they have eyes on it and they're taking care of it for you? It's almost, again, here's a parenting example. I take my kid to a daycare. I'm choosing a new daycare or facility or school or whatnot. I need to know that this thing that is very valuable to me is going to be taken care of. So in the B2B space, while we're not talking to consumers, well, patients directly, for example, in the healthcare space, well, it's when talking to somebody who could potentially be our partner, which could be their partner, is having them know what our values are and what we believe in, right? It's not only just the business excellence, the operational excellence, the efficiency, it's the support, it's the security, and our philosophies on how we need to care for data, regardless of what's required by law.
And that comes back to brand, right? Like that's the tenets you're standing on as a brand so that you can have these conversations. To me, that feels really, really strong. Well, awesome. I have had such a fun time talking through everything with you, Eugenio. I feel like we've gone through a lot, especially privacy is really tricky with marketing. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. And for everyone listening, my guest today, as a reminder, was Eugenio Reynoso, who's Director of Marketing at Health Level. Where should they go to find some more information, either about you or the company?
Just find us at healthlevel.com. So www.healthlevel.com. And then you can find me on LinkedIn too, if you want to reach out and connect.
Awesome. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I definitely had a lot of fun as well.
As we're all learning and growing in the space of health, wellness, and medical marketing, I like to end each episode with a couple key takeaways. I think the first thing that really stood out in my conversation with Iunoso is how to best leverage marketing communication and also always, always, always consider the patient's privacy. Unlike other marketing industries where there is honestly still a huge conversation about privacy, but privacy in that space usually means cookies and tracking and you know, some sort of personal information, but more about like where you've been on the web and what that means and what ads that means I'll serve you. So if you've said you might need a mattress or you did a mattress search, you're going to have mattress ads for the next month. But all of that doesn't necessarily lead to the type of consequences that you could have with misusing patient privacy. And in this episode, we even bring up that infamous Target example. Sensitive health information requires careful handling, especially with digital remarketing. I think inherently as a marketer, you want to serve your customers or potential customers with the right information for them to make the right choices for themselves. But how do you do that effectively when you're addressing a chronic condition and that is the only reason your company exists, but you also cannot openly tell anyone that your potential customer has this chronic condition? These are the balances that we all face every day in health, wellness, and medical marketing. My second takeaway is kind of piggybacking off the first. Because when you are limited in how you can actually communicate effectively in marketing, the only thing you can do is build up a long-term relationship with your customers and really manage your brand reputation. Because of this, in healthcare marketing, success isn't always measured by immediate sales, but really by long-term metrics like reach, reputation, and recall. Iunoso underscores the importance of building a strong brand that patients remember and trust when they need healthcare services. This involves creating meaningful, mission-driven content that resonates with that audience, fostering trust and loyalty over time, rather than driving immediate demand. And the third takeaway is leveraging data for enhanced engagement and awareness. both in B2B and B2C, Iniso points out the necessity of using data to understand patient engagement and awareness. Both my second and third takeaway really have to do with how we compensate for the strict privacy rules in this space. Key metrics such as net promoter score, organic search performance, and engagement levels are vital in assessing the impact of marketing efforts. Producing relevant and valuable content based on the data and led by the data helps attract and retain the right audience without violating patient privacy, ensuring sustained engagement and effective communication long term. And finally, one more bonus one, because I personally really relate to this. In our conversation, Iannoso and I talk about the biggest challenge and opportunity in his career is change, emphasizing the need for adaptability and continuous learning. And that is absolutely what we all need as we grow and learn in any space we're in, but especially in this field of marketing. And if you're curious about a more consumer-focused approach, in our next episode, we talk to Larry Diamond of Metesco and highlight the progress and consumer-focused approach that's reshaping healthcare experiences, especially through telehealth integration. Well, that's the end of our episode for today. If you work in a regulated field like medical, legal, or finance and want to share your own marketing insights, email us at podcast@diacreative.com. And if you're looking for marketing support, well, that's exactly what we do. Visit diacreative.com, diacreative.com. Any other info you might need will be in the show notes, including all links mentioned in this episode. Thanks for listening.